In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, only one God, Amen. From St. John, the Gospel of today, it's written like this: He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of bridegroom's voice. Therefore, the joy of mine is fulfilled. Today is the third Sunday in Tob, the Coptic calendar, and we know that our fathers arrange all the readings with goals, with purpose. That's why if we talk about, for example, the first Sunday in Tob, it's exactly after the Nativity, after Christmas. Then all the readings are related to what? The first Sunday, it's related to the enter of the Holy Family to Egypt. And as we discussed before, that why our church arranged all these readings, especially which is not in the right time, but why it's arranged like this, because only one thing, that a lot of people expect that Jesus Christ came only for Jews, which is wrong, totally wrong. That's why our church tried to explain and clarify this point, that it's not the right one, that Jesus Christ came for to all the generations, all the nations, and all the Gentiles also too. Then going to the second Sunday, which is talking about if the Jews accepted already Jesus Christ when he came, and Jesus Christ clarified also this point when he said that, no, all these people didn't accept myself. They need only an earthly thought. For example, they need only a king from the earth. The king from the earth, it means that when they ask him, we need to see miracles. We need to see miracles only. And he did a lot for them. But the problem that they didn't see the miracle to their spirit or their souls. No, they need only some miracles and earthly perspective. Only, for example, to feed them, to eat. They need the power, the authority, earthly-wise, earthly perspective, not heavenly one. And Jesus Christ explained to them, I'm not here for because I am a king in the earth. I'm the king of the heaven. I came here for you to prepare you a place in the heaven. And that's why they didn't accept him. And the third Sunday, which is today, all the reading, the third Sunday, for sure, because we're the third one, it's coming after exactly the Epiphany feast. That's why all the readings in the Gospel of St. John, it's according only related to St. John the Baptist and about what exactly St. John did. And when we read the small verse about he who had the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. And what the meaning of the friend of the bridegroom? The friend of the bridegroom, we can explain it when we need exactly go to a wedding, and the friend of the bridegroom, exactly his job is to try to make the relation and communication between the bride and the bridegroom. He tried to explain to the bride, okay, who is the bridegroom? Because I am the friend, I'm a friend of this bridegroom, I love him a lot, he's my friend, my best friend, then I try to explain to the bride, who is this man? And I try to explain his personality. And I try to explain exactly the everything in his life. And this is exactly what St. John exactly did when he came. He was the friend of the bridegroom, and he tried to explain to all the people who is Jesus Christ. He exactly tried to explain who is Jesus Christ, why he came. And the best picture, when we know exactly, when we see St. John the Baptist, he put his hand on the head of Jesus Christ, and the other hand, it's making like this, and like raise his hand. It means that I am here in the middle between the Old Testament, and all the Old Testament is here. I am the last one in the Old Testament, and in the beginning of the New Testament, it's coming now, and this is my hand on Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. That's why we have to know that our church tried to explain to us that the goal and the target of all the Old Testament is exactly like this, is preparation for the Savior. All the Old Testament, 5,000 years, okay, before and everything, and it tried to explain to us what is exactly why we have the Old Testament, why God wait all this time to come, because he need to prepare the way to come. And the last one as a conclusion and a conclude was John, St. John the Baptist. If you can know also that St. John the Baptist, he served only for a year and 8 months only. And you can imagine how it's wonderful, his service. It was wonderful. Why? He served by his heart. He served because he knew exactly that his time is too short. That's why I'm looking, for example, to the people who serve a long time. Or, as I said before, that one from my best friend in Egypt, he was a priest, and he was, after his ordination, by 3 years, he was departed. And why? I was asking myself. He finished his service very fast. Then, I'm not looking to the service, for example, like St. John. We are looking to the quality of the service and the quality of your life. Maybe God give me more chance to live because he needs that I come to him again and to serve his people. Again, not depending on the time, it's depending on the quality of the service. And when St. John Baptist, he tried to explain to the people who is Jesus Christ, he said, he is the Lamb of God. One of the names of Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God, if we go now to Genesis 3, chapter number 3, in the beginning of the Bible, okay, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, what God made? God made tunics of skin and clothed them. And if we try to explain what the meaning exactly of tunic of skin and clothe them, it means that there is from where he has to come with the skin. It's only by a sacrifice. And he tried to explain he made. What the meaning of he made? He didn't create. It's different. It's different word between create and made. Made, it means he came with a lamb or sacrifice and he took the skin to clothe Adam and Eve. Then the question, how you know that it is a lamb? Maybe any other animals. Then I'm going to the Genesis number 4. When Abel gave a sacrifice at the lamb, and he tried to explain that he knew this, and he learned this from his father Adam, and Adam learned this from God. Then we know it very well that exactly the lamb was a sacrifice. Then the beginning of the Genesis in the Bible was explained exactly that the lamb is Jesus Christ after. It will come. That's why after, when Abraham took Isaac, and Isaac told Abraham, my father, where is the sacrifice? where is the lamb? Then God answered, Abraham answered Isaac, and he said, God will prepare for him a lamb. As a prophecy, he tried to explain that God, he prepared himself to be a lamb, to be a sacrifice. And in Isaiah 53, when we open the book of Isaiah, we will see a lot of things, like exactly as a, for example, as apostle. He explained to us who is Jesus Christ and what he is doing. Exactly. For example, in Isaiah chapter number 53, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Who is the lamb? He is Jesus Christ. Then, again, all the Old Testament tried to explain to us exactly who is the lamb. And if we go through all the Old Testament, we will find in every book like a symbolized from the lamb, about the lamb, that the lamb is Jesus Christ. He will come. And when we finish the Bible, when we finish the Old Testament, we will find the conclusion in or with St. John Baptist, who tried to explain, halas, we finish everything in the Old Testament. Now we begin the New Testament with the real lamp with Jesus Christ. And also, he tried to explain St. John that no one can carry all the sins on his shoulder except only Jesus Christ. That's why he is the lamp. And go through the Old Testament and go to the last book, either Revelation, when St. John, the apostle, when he saw in the Revelation book, he saw who? He saw the lamb. Then in the beginning in Genesis, we saw the lamb. And the end of the book, or the end of the Bible, and the last one, the last book is the Revelation, and we see also the lamb. And he saw the lamb with different way. He saw the lamb with seven corns. And why seven and why corns? Any lamb, the power is coming from his corn. And the seven, then the full of power, he is the lamb. He's not now in the second coming. He is not the lamb he was like slaughtered, for example. No. He is the lamb who is full of power. And also he saw this lamb with seven eyes. He knows everything. He knows everything about all the people. He will judge the people. That's why when we were in the retreat with the youth, we discussed about a point. We have about a point named Mother's Eye. And I explained to this to many people before. What the meaning of Mother's Eye? When we, myself, for example, and my wife, when we go to a restaurant and we have, for example, the kids with us, and I need to talk, for example, to my wife about something, then what is she doing? Her eyes all the time on my kids. Okay, and we never talk together. Why? Because the problem is that her eyes all the time on my kids. And this is exactly what God is doing with us. He's looking to us in every single moment. And we have to understand this. And we have to know this. We have to know that the Lamb who came to save us, also, he put his eyes on us. And he's not observing only. No. He tried also to keep us safe. Also, another point we discussed before with the youth about one of the painters drew a photo about Jesus Christ when he knocked the door. And he shows this this picture to a king. And he was surprised. It's very good. But he told him, you know what? There is a small point, small mistake you did. And he was asking him, what is mistake? Any door had a handle from the internal, from external. Any door, from inside and outside, there is handles. Why you put only a handle from inside the door? Then, the painter answered, you know, my king, only the way to open the door from inside, not from outside. Only God knocked the door from outside, and by my hand, I will open the door. He will never push the door. No, he only knocked the door, and if you accept his voice and open the door, he will go inside with you and take the supper with you. For sure, Jesus Christ didn't want the supper or to eat, but it means that he needs to stay with you and to talk with you. Only the way to that God go inside myself by open the door. And one of these doors here in the church, when we are in the liturgy and we take the lamb, the sacrifice from the altar. And that's why the offering of sacrifice, and after we put the bread and we say this is a sacrifice, and we said this is a sacrifice to all, this is a lamb to all the people. And I can share with you something very important, and also I share it with the youth. When we say, for example, in the commemoration, in the commemoration of all the saints, when we say Saint Mary, who gave birth to God or Jesus Christ, what we have to do? Our fathers in the monastery taught us about we have to bow and to kiss the altar because we talk about Jesus Christ, and now we are seeing the Jesus Christ in the bread. Now it's transferred from the bread to Jesus Christ. But I'm not talking about myself, there's a lot of priests now is doing this, we can't bow and kiss the altar. We bow and kiss the bread or the holy body. Because this is Jesus Christ here. If we have the faith that we take all now Jesus Christ, this is the power that we received in our life. Exactly as a medication. We are here for a while. We are here for a while. And only what we need a power to continue our life. With this power, without this power from the altar, we can't continue our life. That's why it's very important to know why we are here in the church and why we have to come to the communion, to take the communion, and why we have to pray all together from the beginning to the end of the liturgy, because we prepare ourselves to take the lamb, the sacrifice, to take the power, to take the medication, to continue our life, where without this, we can't continue. There is a lot of people come to me, for example, I have a problem, I have an anxiety, I'm not sure, I'm worried about my life, about. And the first question I'm asking about, are you attending the liturgy? Yes, I take also the communion every week. And the second question is, what do you feel? The majority? Nothing. Then why you are praying in the church? And what you are doing? The church, when we are praying, when we say, for example, who dwells in the highest? Who who dwells in the highest and look upon the lowly. And who is the lowly? Us. If we can contemplate only on this word or this sentence, who dwells in the highest? The Holy Mighty. We can't continue our life like this. No, we have to stop our life for a while and to evaluate ourselves and again to come again to the church, and we live in the heaven in the church. And this is very important, to live with God and to contemplate our every word when we pray and we live the word. When we say that God, He surround Him, the cherubim and the seraphim. And we are looking here, for example, to the bottom of the Father. And we see how is God is here. And the cherubim and the seraphim and 24 priests worship to Him with the censers. And saying to Him, holy, holy, holy. And we are saying also in the church, in the liturgy, holy, holy, holy. Then we are doing the same as what they are doing now in the heaven. For example, that's why St. Basil or St. Gregory or St. Cyril, who wrote the liturgy, they try to put us in the environment of heaven to taste only how is the heaven. Then we have only to learn today that how to live with this sacrifice, the Lamb, to take Jesus Christ inside us, and glory be to God forever. Amen.
Σοφία προσχωμήν, Κυρία Λαϊσόν, Κυρία Λαϊσόν, χαινόμις μη.
Yeah.